אנחנו במציע, אנחנו בעצם במשנה בדפנים. במשנה אנגלית, סליחה. Yeah. Our Mishnah is going to tell us about the what happens when a person takes responsibility for fruits, and we assume if he mixes it with his own fruits, so there's a certain amount that gets lost. Part of it gets scattered, part of it gets lost, part of it the mice eat. So how much is normal wear and tear when you take it? So the Mishnah gives us different numbers. We have to know that there are 30 kav, 30 se'ah in a kur, and 6 kav in a se'ah. So there are 180 kav in a kur. So the Mishnah says, we assume that rice, 6 kav in a se'ah, and 30 se'ah in a kur. So there are 180 kav in a kur. So the Mishnah says, if the person took wheat or rice, so we say he loses 4.5 kav for a kur, which means 4.5 kav is 4.5 kav out of 180 kav. Yeah? So 9 kav out of 180, let's see, 18 out of 180 is a tenth. 9 is a fifth. 4.5 is 2.5%. Okay? So that's 2.5% for wheat and rice. For barley or dochan, he loses 9 kav. That's 5% for kur. For kusmin and fishtan seed, he loses 3 se'ah for a kur. A kur is 30 se'ah, he loses 3 se'ah. That means 10%. And it depends on how much he has and what the time is. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, what do I care? The mice have a steady amount that they eat. Doesn't matter if you have more or less. You evaluate the first kur and that's it. Rav Yehuda says, if you have a large amount, you don't take off because the large amount is going to have extra. And we'll see what that means. The Gemara is going to explain that. So the Gemara says rice loses more than that. The Gemara says here we're talking about peeled rice without the chaff, without the case. So that's why it only loses this much. Kusmin and pishtan seed. So the Gemara says here we're talking in the givol, where it's still in the stalk. And the Gemara says every kur in every year loses this much. That's what Tanna Kamma holds. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says no. You only take off for the first kur because the mice don't eat for every kur, they eat more. And Tanna Kamma holds what? So the Gemara is going to say Tanna Kamma holds that you lose. You have other ways that you lose. You lose, things get lost, things get scattered. Tosus quotes a Yerushalmi that says that mice call their friends. If they see there's enough for more mice, they call more mice. So then there will be more mice eating from the grain. The Gemara says they so that was their claim to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri that it isn't only lost by mice. Here we're talking about where he mixed it with his own fruits, but if he set its own corner, he tells him, there's your grain, take what's there. He could say, Arei shelcha lefanecha. If he mixed it with his own grain, why doesn't he see how much he ate? He knows that he took for himself this much. He knows that he owned this much. The rest is his. The Gemara says he didn't keep track. He knows that he received this much from his friend to watch. He put it in his silo. He doesn't keep track how much he takes out and puts in. So now the question is, how much does he give back his friend? So we say this is the standard wear and tear. But if I know that in my silo I had one kur of mine and one kur of yours, so I'll divide what's left half-half. The second I can keep track of what's going on, I do divide that way. The Mishnah is talking about a case where I cannot keep track. I don't know how much I took and how much is yours. Rabbi Yehuda said that if you had a large amount, then you don't take out, then you don't remove any. Why? So the Gemara says, first of all, how much is a large amount? Rabbi Yochanan says it's 10 kur, which we said a kur is 30 sa'ah, so that's 300 sa'ah. We quoted that this is only talking about where he measured in the grain, and when he took it, he measured in the grain, and when he gave it back, he measured in the grain. In the granary, you have larger measurements. Think about it. You go to the bakery, they have one measurement. You go to the warehouse, they have another measurement. So in the granary, they had one measurement. In the home, they had another measurement. The Gemara says, who's ridiculous enough to think that when I give you, we'll measure the big measurements in the granary. When I take back, we'll measure in the house. No one does that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you did, then it cancels out. Then you don't have to take off. The other understanding is that it depends on the season. If it's the season of the granary, So then I say, if you took and gave back in the same season, so the moisture in the grains is the same moisture, it's the same size. But if you go with different seasons, if you collect in the, if I give you in the granary when it's very dry in the summer, and then I take back my grain in the winter when there's a lot of humidity, so then the grain expands. So then we say that the grain's expansion will make up for the volume that I lost because the mice and everything else ate from it. Because I'm automatically getting less grain because the grain is expanded because of the, there's more moisture in the air. Rav Pap asked Abaye, if things really grow so much because of moisture, why don't we have pitchers exploding on us when you store them in pitchers? So he says, you know, once we did have a pitcher explode on us, so you see it does explode, it does expand. And the other answer he said was, no, if you keep it in a tight jar, then it doesn't expand because the jar contains it, and that's why it doesn't expand with the moisture. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah continues and tells us what we would take off for wine, and we'd have to explain also that it's talking about that he mixed it with his own wine. So the Mishnah says you take off a sixth for the wine, Rav Yehuda said a fifth, a third, three lug for 100 lug of oil. And the logic behind it is half of it is sediment. Their oil used to be mixed with all kinds of sediment, so that settles in his jars. So that's a lug and a half. And the lug and a half would get absorbed to inside the flask. The flask would absorb a lug and a half. The Mishnah says, but if it was purified oil, so then you don't have sediment. And if your flasks were old flasks that already absorbed oil, so you don't have to take off for the absorption. Rav Yehuda says that this math is also applied if a person's selling oil to his friend. So the assumption is that if I want to buy oil from you, for every 100 lug, a lug and a half is going to be sediment. So if I'm selling you pure oil without sediment, you could subtract a lug and a half. You'll pay for 100 and I'll give you 98 and a half. The Gemara says that Rav Yehuda and Tana Kama are not arguing. Even though Tana Kama says you lose a sixth of the wine and Rav Yehuda said a fifth, they're not arguing. Depends on where you live. If you live in a place where they coat the jars with wax, so then you don't have to worry, it doesn't absorb as much. And if you coat it with pitch, with tar, so then it absorbs more. So that's why we have the difference in the Mishnah, how much it absorbs, a fifth or a sixth. But they're not arguing, it depends on the container. Another understanding is that it depends on the material that they made the earthenware out of, the earth. Some types of earth absorb more and some not. The Gemara then recounts a story, and from this story we're going to try to figure out the math of profits. Meaning we have rules. The Torah says, "Lo tonu ish et amito," you're not allowed to afflict your fellow man in business. So we have rules how much you're allowed to make off of things that people need for their livelihood, things that people need, like bread and oil and water. How much money could you make on it? So the Gemara tells us a story like this. It tells us that where Rav Yehuda used to live, when they'd manufacture the oil, you could buy 48 kuzei, which is a measurement of volume. You could buy 48 kuzei in a barrel, and that barrel would cost you 6 zuz. So Rav Yehuda, he'd buy his 48 kuzei for 6 zuz. And then he'd sell 6 kuzei for a zuz. So he paid 6 zuz. He made back his 6 zuz after he sold 36 kuzei. So he has 12 kuzei left to make profit. The next 12 kuzei are all profit. Now, out of those 12, we say that 8 he loses for absorption. We said that you lose a sixth for absorption. So 6 of 48 is 8. Yeah? He's left with 4 for profit. So out of 48 kuzei, he's going to make 4 profit. So that means he's making a 12th profit. So the Gemara says, why is his profit only a 12th? He can make up to a sixth, and that's legal. So why is he only making half of that? So the Gemara says, because the sediment he could sell afterwards, the sediment is his, and the container is also his. So that's also part of his profit. So it's not like he's only making those 12 profit, those 4 profit. So the Gemara says, if so, then his profit is too much. The Gemara says, no, because he has expenses. that's not all profit, because he has to pay either for someone to announce, or he has to pay for someone to make a good hole in the barrel to get out the oil. That was a special professional they had to hire to do that. So the Gemara says that's why his profit wasn't in excess. The Mishnah says if you had purified oil, you don't have to take out for the sediment. So the Gemara says, wait, but it can't be that it won't absorb. Why don't you subtract? Someone gave you oil to wash, pure oil, but you should still subtract because the pitcher is going to absorb. So the Gemara says, we're talking about pitchers that were coated. And if they were coated, they weren't absorbed. Abaye said, even if they weren't coated, over here I don't have to worry about it. Abaye says, once they absorb, they absorb. They're not going to absorb anymore. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you sell purified oil throughout the year, then the assumption is that 1.5 lug is going to be sediment. So Abaye says, now if you look closely, this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is also the machlokas about whether you could mix in the sediment when you're making a sale. And Bezrat Hashem, the rest we'll already see together. We're out of time, so we'll go back and we'll do the daf.